The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Clean Nation, Mike Campion here with one of the very few guests I have that's far better looking than me. You know, it's rare that, well, any woman, but one of the rare, you know, male guests that says, I'm close, dude, just much, much, much better looking. Disappointing if you're me, good if you're him. Christian Wilford owns Apex Commercial Cleaning. Gosh, he's been around our little universe for a while. He's got a very nice business. And Lindsay, I always like Christian, so I'm happy to have him on the podcast. But Lindsay, who is in charge of all things podcast, thought his experience, his story, what he's been going through, the results he's gotten would be of value to you of kind of where he started, how he got where he's at. So I figured we'd have him on and share. Christian, say hello to Cleaning Nation.
Hello, Cleaning Nation.
Done and done.
Keep it simple. I like the KISS method. Keep it simple, stupid. Sometimes it's as Mike likes to say, it keeps the drama out of things.
So, and you know me, I'm very G, not even PG. That's not true. But you know, keep it simple, silly. You know, stupid's a little harsh. You know, got my 7-year-old listening. We don't want to.
It's I'm just quoting Traction, the book Traction. Yes.
And I think that's quoted from somewhere else, which is, I don't know where that first came from, but it's a good quote. All right,
you're right.
So. I want to dive in because you've had, why don't you do this? If you just give like a 60-second overview or a couple minutes if you need to of kind of where you were when we first met, because that I can't remember because I've known you for so long. I can't remember where you were. You probably remember better. What you're struggling with, what your frustrations are, where you're at now. So give people the opportunity to be like, oh my gosh, I've got that same thing. And oh yeah, I'd like some of those same results. And then we can kind of talk about what got you from here to there and see if we can't give some value to Clean Nation.
Okay. So we first met in August of 2018, roughly. I know that
those of you listening to the back episodes, we're recording this April 2023. So August 2023. So we got almost, oh my gosh, Christian, you were a young man when I met you. And I was almost young. I could see young when I met you. All right.
5 years. So
at that time, we've only been working together a little bit and then a break and then back for like less than a year. Okay, cool. So,
but I was part of Clean Nation, still following the podcast and following on social media and things. So I was still up to date with all things Mike Campion and Grow My Cleaning Company as much as I could be without being in the interwebs.
So apparently there's an amount of me that's too much. And Christian had reached that point. Luckily his point is way farther than my wife. Yeah. He's like, you know what? I just need some space. We broke up for a little bit. It was very mutual. He decided to see some other coaches. I saw some other clients. I don't know if that's the truth, but anyway, go ahead. Well, I mean, obviously taking clients, but anyway, go ahead.
This is true. So in 2018, at that time, I had a business partner. We had about 10 employees and we were doing pretty well overall as far as for gross revenue went. And we had just kind of gotten lucky, really, in the big picture as far as for our margins being right and understanding. There were some things that we just kind of got lucky on. We didn't really understand the processes of them. As they worked within a business to the extent that we later did once we got involved with Grow My Cleaning Company. We were really trying to kind of navigate that growth and learn how to scale the business and continue to grow at a pace that was manageable.
So hold on, let me jump in with a phenomenal question. I just thought of a great question I'm dying Clean Nation is going to love. So what, if you can remember back, and if you can't, I totally get it's been 5 years. What problems did you think you had? And if 5 years, I don't want to say old Christian, but older, more experienced Christian could go back and talk to younger Christian, what problems did you think you actually had? Because that's a difference. I'd love to hear that.
So I will say that I often will say anybody should go back and tell their themselves 5 years ago, whatever problems you think you have today, if you've made any progress in life, you probably want to slap yourself for 5 years ago, like, look, these aren't problems. Like, and you don't even really know what you're thinking is a problem. You haven't even identified it yet. So, what I thought was the problem wasn't really the problem. What I thought we were lacking was management structure. And I felt like we needed to, you know, kind of develop some additional structures and layers. And how do we get to this next level with, and all really from like a strategic management approach, and which I don't want to say wasn't apex, but it was really just trying to be what we thought we were supposed to be as a business, and looking for some guidance from a coach in the business world, but specifically in the cleaning world, that understands the pains and problems of cleaning companies, because the pains and problems of a janitorial company specifically that goes in at night is not the same as somebody who works in an office setting. It's just, they're just different. And so we were
looking, as I'm in love with my own coaching, the only better coach than me is you, is older you talking to younger you. So I get the, what you thought the problem is, I hear you explaining it, was you thought you needed better management systems and people. And if you could just hire the right operations manager, then everything would be okay. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is that.
And even close? Just improving on what we were doing, you know, thinking we were doing something wrong, you know, being so critical of ourselves. Okay. And a part of it was, and I don't have a business partner anymore, but I'll include that as a fast forward in a moment to today. But
well, spoiler alert, Christian killed them. They got sideways. Yeah. Christian does not put up with crap, and that dude's gone.
Yeah. It was a nice funeral.
Christian paid for it. He's good people.
Yeah.
If you could tell yourself now, what was the real, you know what I'm saying? If you could shake yourself, be like, no, it's not that, it's this. What's the this?
It was really just, we needed actual systems. We didn't need management systems of this guy's going to do this and that. We just needed systems for the employees to understand what the expectations were, what our expectations were of them, and what their expectations should be of us and as owners of the business, and then you know, for the different leaders that we have as well now, and really kind of honing in on what our values were, because I always knew what my personal, you know, morals and values were. But that was one thing that, you know, going through the Grow My Cleaning Company at the time, it was only called the Clean Profit Method program, was really kind of focused on that. I think that was probably my favorite activity at that time, was, you know, text 10 people, you know, and ask them for the five things that describe you the most. And it was pretty eye-opening. It was like, this is probably what sets us apart. These values that I hold true to myself and I'm not going to ever falter on. And why wouldn't we build things based off of those values and the systems off of those values and our hiring processes off of those values, so that we can have more people that get along and see, understand the vision and the big picture.
So I'm hearing two things that are really powerful and they're connected. So if we just spend the whole podcast even doing that, I would be happy. Not that you can't say other things, but I want to get to the bottom of the two things that you said. So first, and I'm going to keep repeating it so I make sure I understand, if I understand it, hopefully Cleaning Nation's with us. First, I hear you saying, we thought we needed systems to know what managers to hire to implement the systems. And what I hear you saying is now you just needed systems that the team that you had now could more effectively do their job. You didn't need more people. You needed the people that you had to operate and contribute at a higher level. And you believe having core values that you knew what they were, communicating to those people and attracting people that shared those values, and having systems that, so systems and values that supported the people that you had, was what you needed, not hiring more people to add more layers of management. And did I catch you?
Correct. I would say to add to that, it was, having a business partner was a lot of fun. We're still great friends today. Spoiler alert, he actually didn't die. I didn't kill him. I imagine he will have a nice funeral one day. I hope to be present for it. I hope it's not the other way around. But kind of trying to understand what our roles were as business partners and the management aspects of that, and kind of looking for some coaching there, as well as kind of realizing that although we were very close friends and our core values were similar, they weren't identical. And how did we kind of marry that together to have a happy union as a company? And the systems that we were longing for at that time were, what do we need to do from a management perspective? How do we grow, and how do we, and what I learned at that time was, focus on our core values, the things that are important to us, make sure that we, and how we want to operate as a company, and then find people that they share those values. And then from there, create the systems that we're using. There's nothing really wrong with them. They're just not efficient. and they're not scalable. And so we learned that we needed to, the systems that we had in place, they were fine for a company that wasn't going to go anywhere and wasn't going to grow. So we were able to adjust and make those things to be a more scalable company. And we still have plenty of room to grow.
So give me some examples of each. So what was the system specifically that you upgraded? Like, here's what we were doing that we're kind of stuck and here's how we do it now. And then if you would, give me an example of, you mentioned the core values. That's my favorite, but I think people are like, well, how do I do that day to day? Like, what, like, if you've got some tactical, here's an old system and a new system, and here's a way we used to do something when we weren't really considering the core values as the foundation, and here's how we do it now using the core values as the foundation. I know I'm kind of really getting to you, but I really think you've got a lot of value to give Clean Nation. I want to make sure I don't let you get off without it.
So you repeat the first question again for me, just so I make sure that I...
Yeah. So I heard two things. One, we upgraded our systems. The system we had did great to get us where we're going, or where we're at then, but they weren't going to get us to the next level. So
let me answer that one.
Yeah, so just give one example or two if you have. Here's a system and here's how we changed
it. I've got a perfect example, and that is our hiring process. What we were doing was what a lot of companies do. When you have an opening and when you know you have an opening, you start to go and hire people. Maybe you do some interviews or you take some applications in the time when you don't have any openings, or you have an employee who refers somebody, you say, yeah, as soon as we have an opening, we'll give you a call. That worked as well for us as every other company that ends up being short-staffed here and there and has those struggles. And so by changing our interview process and never turning that hiring funnel off, even when we don't have spots, we just, you know, maybe what we call our approved to hire list. So we go through that process still, even if we don't have spots, even if we don't have loader spots available, we go through that process and we list them on our approved to hire list. So that way, when we have openings, we can go back through that log of people and say, hey, we have an opening now. It is as a floater, or maybe it's on a crew for a new location that we have to clean. Are you still interested in a job here? That way, you know, we keep that long. And if we go through that whole log and none of them are still interested in a job, great. We've got group interviews on Monday. So we'll be, that funnel is always running. And it really kind of connects to the core value aspect of things, because, which that is the next question, correct?
Yeah. First of all, I love that example, because you really just went from reactive, which if you're growing very slowly or not growing at all, reactive isn't great because you're still going to get caught and we're short, right? But it can, like you said, it's a nice little band-aid. But when you want to grow consistently or quickly and not have that, like, surprise, you're cleaning tonight or no call, no show, just changing your perspective to, I'm going to wait till the problem comes and then I'll put it out. You know, basically it's the difference between putting out fires and installing a sprinkler system. You know, after the third fire, you're like, why don't we stop doing flammable stuff? Or why don't we put in a sprinkler system? Why don't we get proactive? So if you had a different example, what the core values look like of how you would kind of take employees, or the employees were in a core values match, and how that looked and felt and what you did differently and how that looks and feels. So people, because I think people hear this core values, like, it's so squishy, man. Like, what do I actually do? How does that show up day to day?
I got you. So our core values, we really have kind of over the years, we've kind of fluctuated on, like, oh, I like this, you know, but they've really always, and I say that we've tried to kind of change the wording of it to where it makes sense to people, but the people that it makes sense to will be the ones that relate with it the most. And it took me a while to kind of come to that understanding, because I was, it's like I was trying to fit a square in a round, in a, you know, square into a circle. So our core values are be reliable, have a positive attitude, be a team player. Being a team player is something that I think is very important, because in this, for us in the janitorial industry, you've got, you know, Mr. A and Mr. B that work at building C, and you've got Mr. D and Mr. E that work at building F, and they don't interact with each other on a regular basis. At least how we were doing things before. And so understanding, for them to understand that it's important to be a team player, like, hey, you may have to go help, you know, Mr. A may be out and you may need to go help Mr. C when you finish your building, or Mr. B at building C when you finish up. And so, but also just being reliable. And I'm trying to kind of give you some actionable things so that people can understand how they can use those in that day-to-day process. And I mean, reliable is pretty straightforward. But when we look at it, we tell employees, you know, wearing your uniform, showing up on time. Like, reliable is not just showing up to work. It's showing up to work and doing the job that's expected of you. But we want you to do it with a positive attitude. We want you to have fun. I want to have fun. Life is far too short to not have a good time. There is no rule out there that says that you can't make work fun. We still have to be professional, but we can have fun and be professional to the best of our abilities. We do that every day.
Hey, new friend, love that you are here. If you want more Cleaning Nation, more us, you can check us out on YouTube. Similar content, you just get to see each other. It's totally free. Or if you want to say, hey, hit us up on Instagram, Twitter, join our free Facebook group. We love hearing from you, Cleaning Nation. That's what makes it magic. Jump on, we'll see you there.
So excellent examples. Thank you for that. Now, I think if we could kind of wrap it with what results or how are you experiencing your business differently. So you can be as specific or general as you want, but I find that there's really three key factors on the business. One is just growth. Are we growing fast, growing slow, shrinking? How are these changes that you made affected your growth? Are you growing faster, slower, same, shrinking? Two, profit is a big deal, right? Like, I would rather stay the same in terms of revenue, but make more money. But a lot of people just count revenue. And again, if you went from $500,000 to $1 million, but your profit stayed the same or went up by 10%, to me, that's a step backwards. And then finally, how you experience the business. And I think those are kind of an order of what people put them, like revenue is number one in their mind, profit's number two, and then how they experience it's number three. As long as your bills are getting paid, right? Obviously, if you're homeless or getting a car repoed, then that changes things. But if your bills are getting paid, I put them in reverse. How I experience the business first, then profit, and then at the end, the gross sales is really just there to make the profit and how I experience the business work. But how
I'll
has
go
your,
in the
you go in whatever go in the you first. Want. How's that changed for you?
I'll go in the first order because it's more exciting. I end with the experience because it's good. So growth. We have continued to grow. And one of the ways that we grew was by really identifying our niche. At the time in 2018, we were doing a lot, you know, we were still commercial, but we did do some residential in between renter cleans and post-construction and just different things. And we were kind of spreading ourselves thin, often as businesses do in their, you know, beginning years, trying to grow and just, you know, being hungry, but not really understanding that, you know, if you stay in your lane, you can eat more. As time goes on, you'll be just as full. Stop trying to put so much on your plate all at once.
So that's a quick bonus cleaning. When I hear Christian saying, and correct me if I'm twisting your words, because I certainly don't want to do that. When we were smaller in size and younger in business and experience, we took a lot of different clients thinking we'd grow faster. Once we focused our niche and were more selective about who we took, that actually made us grow faster. Am I
correct?
Okay. So growth has been fast, slow, 10%, 20%, like, you know, how's that feeling?
Leading up to COVID, we grew probably by about 50% every year.
That's very fast growth.
COVID was, you know, difficult, like for everybody else. But one of the things that we did through that time is we didn't do a lot of one-time cleans. So
let's move on, because I don't want to get too much into COVID because it's over.
Gotcha. But so that period of time didn't allow us to grow as quickly.
Christian wasn't working with us during COVID, and our clients grew during COVID. It wasn't a tough time at all. Sorry, just a little stick it to Clean Nation out there. And also an asterisk. I don't want people to think like, you know, hey, we don't take responsibility for the non-growth.
No, yeah.
Okay, so growth is, and I appreciate the honesty that I'm not trying to blow skirt up anyone's smoke. We want to, you know, smoke up anyone's skirt. So 50% growth a year, COVID, that was not the case. How about, have your profits gone up, down, stayed the same? And again, most importantly to me, how is the way that you personally experience the difference change for better or for worse?
So from the profit perspective, that was kind of where we just kind of got lucky in the beginning and doing things right. And so we were in a relatively good spot. Kind of, and
by the
overall.
Way, guys, you said it a couple of times and I let it slide, but I'm not gonna let it slide anymore. I really disagree with luck. I think you worked hard. You were smart guys. I'm not saying there's no luck involved, but to just ascribe any sort of success or not say, I do it the opposite way. If you're like, oh, we got our head handed to it, but it wasn't our fault. It was, we just got unlucky. Like bull crap. It was you. Same goes true when you're like, oh, we got lucky. Yeah. You worked real hard. You're smart guys. You listen to, you know, you were doing, you did the right things and that, yeah, you tended to get lucky. So yeah, let's move luck with, we had some success. Cause I think that's more accurate to be fair.
I will say this. That's a good point. We had some success, and one of the reasons why we had some success early on, and you're right, I shouldn't attribute it to luck. Some of it was just, oh gosh, you know, thank God we did this the right way, because now that we're hiring people, we actually have we have profitability here, which is what business is about. But a lot of it was success due to listening to the podcast, finding the podcast and listening to it, and some of the podcasts, where you talked about the bid process and understanding those different things, that was really a strong guiding factor for us in those early years. And then a big push as to what said when we were trying to figure out, where do we go from here? What do we do? And how do we get to that next level? There was no question for me as to where we were going to learn that and get that information.
So I'm just doubling down. That wasn't luck at all. You sought out information. You consumed it. So a lot of people don't look. They get arrogant and just like, I'm going to do it my own way. That's not luck. That's a decision. Two, you consumed it. Fine. A lot of people consume and don't do anything. So you looked for content that was going to help you, people that had experience. You actually listened to what they said, and then you actually did the hard thing and put it into practice. So you did those three unusual things that rarely people do. And then you got, and I'm doing massive air quote, and then you got lucky. Okay. Okay. So profit wise with over the, and I'm really want to focus on those two big changes of, we started running our company with core values, and we started upgrading our systems as they were to serve the team without having to just hire a bunch of managers. How did that affect your profitability? Stay the same, went higher, went down?
The profitability actually went higher. And to even add on to that, to some things that I know you've said and you've coached people on, we had a customer that we lost at one point that prior to, I would have been thinking, oh my gosh, how are we going to do this? But when we actually looked at the numbers, we became more profitable after that customer was no longer our customer. And so understanding those metrics really changed the way that I experienced the business, as well as focusing on core values. Like, we do things
before we move on to experience of the business, because that's my favorite part. I want to spend the most time there. I want to hit something that you said that was maybe not as clear. I don't want anyone to miss it. So I heard two focusings. The first focus was post-construction, move in, move out, whoever. If you've got money to clean something, I will take it. And you felt like, of course, and I'm hitting this hard because you get it. And a lot of the people that have been in business and, you know, over half a million, closer to a million or above, they really get it. But a lot of the guys starting under 20, 30 grand a month, they don't get this, and they just take money from anybody. So, and they do it because they're not stupid. They don't think it's going to grow slower. It's like, well, I have more opportunities, right? But before I'm married, I have the most opportunities. I can date anybody. But if my goal is to have quality, you know, so the first culling or starting to say no was to the wrong client by one time versus ongoing, and, you know, God forbid residential. So like, okay, I'm going to really focus on the type of client, and that up leveled you. The second focus I heard was within that. Now I'm only taking this type of client, commercial recurring, no one time, no move in, move out, post construction, yada yada. There was a client that I thought was profitable. So I just see you kind of getting more and more. People think as you get bigger, you'll get less and less specific and take more types of customers. Like, no, it's quite the opposite until you get, you know, maybe you get 10, 20 million, then you might be like, okay, I'm going to take a whole different vertical, but that's a whole different business. So I just wanted to point that out for everybody. The more specific Christian got, the more profit and the more revenue, which is paradoxical. It feels the opposite. The more selective I get, the less profit I'll make. But just, let's just look at doctors, because we all get it. You just go to the regular Minute Clinic doctor down the road that's just a complete generalist. That guy might make $92,000 to $131,000 a year. He says, you know what? I think this is beyond what we can do here. You need to go to a, you know, a specialist, you know, like a gastroenterologist or whatever. That guy may make $150,000 to $300,000 a year. And when you talk to that guy, he's like, oh boy, you got a real specific disease, dude. This is, I've only seen two of these in my life. There's one dude in the country that does it. He's an ultra, ultra specialist. That guy's making $1 million a year plus. So you can go thing after thing after thing. The more you niche and the more specific you are on who your client is, You always charge more money. You always make more money. Okay.
That's, as long as you provide quality service.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, but they go hand in hand, right?
Right.
If I'm serving everybody, I'll clean your dog, your house, your dry cleaning, your conscience, whatever you got to clean, throw me some money, I'll clean it. By definition, I suck at all of that. How could I possibly be? What kind of insane world are we living in?
Can't be good at all those things.
All I clean is this one specific thing. You're going to get better. I mean, that doesn't mean you're getting good enough. I'm not saying that that's it.
Right.
But just naturally, you'll get 80, 90, 100, 300% better by just focus. There's a reason all I do is help owners of cleaning companies. I forgot more about how to grow a cleaning company than I think just about anyone walking the face of the earth. There's other coaches. I use Anthony Robbins all the time. Way better coach than me. But you want to grow a cleaning company? I know a little bit about that. So be specific. All right. Now let's talk how you experience the business, because that's my favorite. How did that go in terms of the time, the quantity of time that you worked, the quality of time that you worked, the satisfaction that you got? These are things I think people don't look at. And they're the most important things when we look back on our business. Certainly, if you're going to tell 5 years ago, Christian, he was probably like, revenue, revenue, revenue. And you're like, no, man. I mean, not that revenue is not important, but yeah, I'm dying to hear how that changed and why you thought that changed and how we can, we'll end with you telling how you think that can bring value or how Cleaning Nation can take that away and improve their experience with their business.
Yes. So I would say that today I enjoy the business so much more. I enjoy the relationships that I get to build with the employees that we have here that we get to work with each day because we share core values. So it makes it a lot easier and a lot more fun to work together. Same thing with our customers, because we have the right customers and we identify who is our right niche, but not just our right niche, but the people that understand and appreciate our core values that we work together. It makes it so much more enjoyable to serve them and to serve our employees. The amount of time that it worked to me, I would say is...
So before we move on to amount of time, I want to catch something you said. Christian said, and this is my favorite, the people we get to work with, just that switch going from the employees I've got to deal with, the customers I have to call back, that have to versus get to is everything. And I would, as long as my bills were being paid, I got, you know, obviously I'm not into poverty, but I would literally take half the money to get to go to work, then double the money to have to go to work. So just, if you, Clean Nation, are feeling like you have to, as opposed to get to, remember, we started this. This alien overlords didn't come assign us our, you know, we're not in communist Russia where they're like, you're the baker, get to work. And you're like, well, I guess I bake now. You can get a job. You could start another company. You were here because you want to. So if you start wandering into have to territory, something's wrong. Don't tolerate that. And I'm not saying there's never a have to in your business, right? There's always some things we have to do that aren't as ideal. But generally, the people that you work with consistently, both customers and employees, and the things you do should be overwhelmingly in the get to category. And I just love that that was your natural. I didn't coach you up on that. That wasn't anything we talked about. That you feel that's how you experience your business is get to, not have to. Please continue. That was just genius. I don't want anyone to miss.
Well, in regards to that, I think anybody that's not sure what that means or how to do that, go and look up servant leadership. Go read some books on servant leadership and just figure, you know, we serve our customers. How can we better serve our employees? We want to create an environment for them that is beneficial for them, that they love coming to work, because happy people do a better job. People that value their job and their job makes them happy are going to do a better job. And all the way around, it's just this big cycle that works together. Happy customers don't make changes. I don't care if my insurance company calls me tomorrow and says we're going up. I'm not going to look for another company, because anytime I have an issue, they're always there to serve me. And that's what I'm looking for as a customer. And the job that I had before branching out to do Apex, I felt that way with my employer. It wasn't because I was so unhappy in my job there that this happened. It was because I saw an opportunity to do something different for my family, to provide a different life for us. And I'm happy that I did, because when we going back to time, in the beginning, 5 years ago, the 1 year that I didn't coach my son's sports teams was that following August was when I said, okay, I got to do something. And we got involved because it was the first time that I had never coached his sport teams. And I was showing up to the games after, you know, he had warmed up and watching from the bleachers and then leaving, which was a different experience to say the least. And I realized this is not what life is about. You know, every year since we've sponsored every team he's been on, I've been the coach. He no longer participates in rec league sports. He's a 16-year-old and, he's into some different things. Music and weightlifting and typical teenage stuff. And he's a great kid and I'm super proud of him. And I'm glad that I was able to be there with him and making those changes to the systems and the core values and how we did things created more time for me to spend with my family and that valuable time that you can't get back. And that to me has so much more value than the revenue and all those things, but certainly one feeds the other and allows for one, you know, things to be possible. And so, you know, my time is the quality of it is so much greater in the time that I spend working on the business rather than in the business and understanding how we can provide better services to our customers and provide a better environment for the employees we get to work with, as well as knowing that family is important to me and getting that time. When an employee calls with something regarding their family, we say, hey, deal with it, take care of it. Don't stress out. We got it under control. You go do what you got to do. We've got somebody going to Puerto Rico next week to visit their sick father. And she was upset that she had to ask off on such short notice. And
so it looks like,
hey, go deal with it. Spend time with your family.
You got frozen a little bit there.
Oh,
that's okay. So, A, thank you for sharing all of that. Cleaning Nation, what I want to leave you with is you can have your business any way you want it. I think a lot of the people, by the time they get to us and reach out for help, they have given in a little bit. Like they'll say things like, especially if they're cleaning, in the same sentence, well, I don't want to clean anymore, but it's not that bad. I love cleaning. And what they're really saying is I've given up hope that I could ever really build this business. And I'm afraid if I say it out loud and go all in, I really don't like cleaning. It's not what's best for me. And maybe it's true. Maybe you do like cleaning, but you know, as well as I do that wasn't your dream to get in the cleaning business. You want to own a business. So don't sell yourself short and tell yourself a bunch of stories that it's okay to not experience the business the way that you want to. You're an owner. The reason you're an entrepreneur, so you can create your own universe, your own experience. And if you're not doing that, the only way to fix it is decide, I want something different, right? As long as you make excuses for yourself and go, it's not that bad. It's okay that I don't love my business or that I hate the people I work with, or I'm not making any money, or I'm still cleaning, or I'm physically wrecking myself. The reason you're an entrepreneur is because you want to be able to create your own reality. So don't tolerate anything less than what you deserve and what you got in this business for. So that said, if you'd like help with that, growingcleaningcompany.com. We have over 900 free podcasts. There's all sorts of content that's amazing. That's it. Check it out. Have the business that you want. Commit to get the business you want and build it. You can have it any way you want. Talk to you soon, Cleaning Nation.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me. But like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share it with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now, 602-932-6431. Give me a text, say hey, can't wait to meet you.